on the archives of the greatest dramas in radio history, we proudly present Hollywood.
The Radio Theater, starring Olivia de Havilland and Charles Boyer in Clooney Brown. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greeting from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. A book that may have eluded your attention, albeit a bestseller in its field, is a hefty volume called Modern Plumbing Illustrated. If by any remote chance you should have occasion to refer to it, you'd notice that it opens with a chapter on the kitchen sink. In fact, the kitchen sink takes precedence over laundry tubs, shower bars, hot water tanks, and cellar piping. I mention this because our play tonight is motivated not by just romantic love, but also by a love for plumbing, starting with the kitchen sink. It's 20th Century Fox's screen hit, Clooney Brown. And our stars are Charles Boyer in his original screen role and Olivia de Havilland as Clooney. Two unpredictable people who meet at the aforesaid sink and who end up, well, you'll see how as our play progresses. It takes place back in 1938. We take you now to London and act one of Clooney Brown, starring Olivia de Havilland in the title role and Charles Boyer as Adam Belinsky. Away, way back in 1938 in London, an amiable bachelor named Hilary Ames was expecting 50 guests for cocktails when a sudden bolt of disaster descended. His kitchen sink refused to drain. For an endless hour, Mr. Ames has been waiting for a plumber. Finally...
Come in, my good man. Come in.
Oh, thank you.
It wasn't only to spoil your Sunday, but it's sink or swim, you know.
Kitchen's like that.
There you are.
Quite a mess, isn't it?
Yes. Very interesting.
Well, there it is.
So just look at it, old chap. Do something.
Eh? Oh, you want your sink fixed.
Right. Relieve the drain, relieve the strain. A bit of a parishioner.
Well, what you need is a plumber.
Right. You mean you want me?
Oh, unfortunately, no. No, I stopped by to call on an old friend of mine, Professor Lee.
Professor Lee's been in Scotland for months.
Oh.
Oh, well, now I am in a fix.
What about me? I'm in a fix, too.
50 guests, including the Honorable Betty Cream, and she doesn't go everywhere, you know.
You are the most selfish man I've ever seen.
What?
You don't even know me. And already you're not interested in me. Why don't you ask me why I wanted to see Professor Lee? Why don't you say, my dear sir, is there anything I can do for you?
Well, is there?
Oh, thank heaven, I've misjudged you. My name is Adam Benicio.
Oh, Ames. Hilary Ames.
Ah, delighted. Still, I wish Professor Lee were here. Do you know what he would have said to me?
What?
Is there anything wrong with this, he would have said? And I would have said with a saddened smile, no, no, nothing. But he would not have believed me.
Oh.
No, no, he would have observed how tired I am. He would have insisted on my going inside and taking a nap. You had the most charming way of forcing a 20-pound note on you. Made you feel you were doing him a favor.
A remarkable fellow. Well, if there's anything I can do, that must be the plumber. Come in.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, do you have a garden?
I beg your pardon?
You have a kitchen with a sink, aren't you? Well, I'm part of the plumber, too.
But where's part of the plumber?
Picking out where he's got at the cemetery. I'm not the note for him. Don't I have a crack at the thing with this?
You don't mean you're a plumber, too.
Oh, no, but I've learned a lot from a salon. In respect to conservative, if you ask me.
Conservative?
Oh, much too. Just a drop here, and it's a chair, you know. When one good bang might turn out different, isn't it? So, I'll get to work.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, my dear Ames, where's your sense of adventure?
Please, sir, don't let me tell.
Oh, but a lady, now, plumber. When you're up against a deadline, you'll have to take chances. Well, young woman?
No, what a congestion. I never thought it would be as good as this.
Your instrument, miss.
Thank you.
I hope it won't take too long. It's 4:30, you know.
Well, here you go. Anything happened?
No, not yet.
I'm not yet, sorry. Monkey leg. A fuss and a twist.
The what?
And a twist.
It gurgles.
It did. Punch it in, then.
It's coming. Eureka.
Donnie,
my dear child, my dear child.
Isn't it wonderful?
Oh, thank
you. Oh, of course, for me, definitely. So where are you two? I'll be right back to talk to
you. Oh, what a wonderful afternoon. My first drink and my first cocktail. Here we are, Eugenie.
Have another.
Oh, thank you. Honestly, it's just lovely. I feel silly.
Silly?
Have you ever had silly? I have, last Saturday. I was lying up there stretching out and just turn up the kitchen, you know, and all at once I said to myself, Clooney Brown, you've got a pound loaf in your stocking. Why don't you have tea after it? So, I did. That's what I think come over this.
Was it a good tea?
Oh, it wasn't a tea. But the ear inside, the thing, drinking, and holding my chair for me, you'd never have thought I was out of place.
What made you think you were?
Oh, I didn't think I was. It's Uncle Arn. He's always telling me, Clooney Brown, you don't know your place. Think of your place, Clooney Brown. You ought to learn your place.
And where does Uncle Arn think your place is?
He didn't say.
Because he doesn't know.
I say, send aside.
I tell you where it is. Wherever you're happy, that's your place. And happiness is purely a matter of personal adjustment to one's environment. You're the sole judge.
I am.
For instance, some people like to feed nuts to the squirrels. But if it makes you happy to feed squirrels to the nuts, who am I to say nuts to the squirrels?
Oh, can I sing that all over again?
Not at all. I said some people like to feed nuts.
My guest. Come in.
Aunt Forrest, Forrest, that's Lama.
It's Uncle Arn. Here I am, Uncle Arn. Who's it?
Clooney Brown. Have your strong drink in your hand. What's been going on?
Oh, I assure you, Uncle Arn.
Name this, your Forrest. Giving strong drink to a young girl. I've half a mind.
Oh, that's Uncle Arn.
There you go again. You don't know your place. You never will know your place.
But this is my place. What's anybody's choice? If you want to see nuts to the squirrels, who wants to say, see you?
That's definitely it. You're going to take that job, you are. You're leaving tomorrow for the country.
Yes, Uncle Arn.
You'll be a domestic in a decent home. You're going into service. Now come along, Clooney Brown.
Yes, Uncle Arn. Goodbye, gentlemen. And thank you. Thank you for everything.
You'll take the train in the morning, Clooney. You're a very lucky girl getting took on as parlor maid in a nice house in the country.
What's the people's mind?
Sir Henry and Lady Carmel, that's who.
But what if I don't get a lift to week? What if they see me scratch and starve and down to the bone? Then can I come back, Uncle Arn?
They'll see you, love.
What if they knock me about?
They won't.
But what if they do?
Well, then, send me a line. But be sure they do.
Uncle Arn.
Hey.
Do you know why girls leave home? Girls leave home because they're thrown out, that's right. I wonder what his name was.
Oh. Old name.
Is. What's for the squirrels? That's something to think about, all right. What's for the squirrels?
And believe it or not, Andrew, she fixed it. Bang, bang, and away it rained. A lady plumber.
It's incredible. And what happened to the chap who was looking for Professor Lee?
Oh, he's about somewhere, I suppose. I lost track of him when everybody brings him.
Hello, Betty. You've met our host, haven't you? Mr. Ring, the Honorable Betty King.
I hope you cheered him up, Mr. The water and air of the Carmel certainly is not for humor.
Why, not at all. I think you can't understand cocktail parties. No offense, Betty. When Europe is on the brink, Hitler and Vienna and Prague.
Oh, I'm so tired of talk about Hitler.
But you must realize we're on the verge of war.
Oh, stop talking and do something about it.
Well, I most definitely have. I've written a letter to the Times.
Then there's nothing to worry about. Now then, I've something interesting to tell you. I just discovered a man inside.
With the screen, the place is full of men.
This one's in bed.
Come on. Come on, Father.
No wonder. It's that squirrel.
What's the matter?
Who is that man?
Steve Belinsky.
Adam Belinsky.
You mean I should know him? Is he a gangster?
Oh, don't be an idiot. He's a great man.
It's him.
Hey, Belinsky.
Adam Belinsky.
Yes. He's a writer. A professor of Prague. One of Hitler's worst enemies.
You mean a Nazi doctor?
Certainly. Look at him. Exactly like a picture.
They're very nice.
Noble. Much noble.
Lord.
What difference does that make? He's a great liberal.
That's right, Norma says.
So do I.
Well, I don't. And I'm as liberal as either of you.
Excuse me. See, we've waited a minute. Hello.
Hello.
Now, it's all right. You can trust us. I'm Andrew Carmel.
Oh, how do you do?
And I'm Betty King.
You see? Oh, yes. You are honorable and you don't go everywhere.
Oh, we don't mean to cry, but you're in trouble, aren't you, Professor?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, unless a miracle happens, I'm a man without a home. You see, my landlady...
Oh, that beast, that terrible beast, Hitler.
I wonder if I've made myself clear.
Oh, perfectly. And we must do something exactly.
Gentlemen, I'm afraid you are a little confused.
Oh, I know we are. There's so much muddle thinking.
I have an idea. Let's scram out of here.
It's step in the right direction.
Well, oh, of course, oh, boy, under the circumstances and all. But, where will you go?
Yes, where?
Some place of any suggestions, Mr. Lindsay?
Well, I should say the rich is a good safe place. I mean, the cost and over, anyway.
Splendid. Let's go.
Sorry, Hillary. Wonderful party, but, well, you understand.
Well, this is my lodging house. Thank you for a delightful evening. You see, I've never been to the Ritz before.
Oh, it's been a privilege, Professor. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Gummer, you see.
Good night.
Oh, Professor.
Yes?
Excuse me, Betty. Professor, I beg your pardon for bringing this up again, but
Well, since you have honored us with your confidence.
Yes?
Well, I feel that the £20 you were gracious enough to accept for me is most inadequate. Here, please take this.
No, 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 no. My dear friend, you mustn't press me any further.
I insist. I understand, Professor. I'm sorry.
However, should I need 30 additional pounds, you will give it to me and nobody else.
That's a promise?
My word of honor.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'll telephone you tomorrow.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, Professor. Gary.
Yes?
I'm sorry, darling, but I'll not be having lunch with you tomorrow.
No.
No. Tomorrow I'm driving down to the country. I've got to see Father about Professor Belinsky. And so, to get to the point, Father, I'm inviting a guest here.
Good.
Mother?
Of course, dear.
Now, he's in great danger. Oh, he won't admit it, but he is. He must get out of London.
Good heavens, what's he done?
What hasn't he done? He's fighting for a new and better world.
Whatever for?
What for? Father, haven't you heard of the Nazis?
Oh, yes, German chaps. Always wanted to see one. Send him down by all means.
Father, he isn't a Nazi. He fights Nazi.
Believe me, England won't be safe until we produce our own Belinsky.
What the devil are Belinsky?
What are Belinsky? How are you, Doctor?
Now, don't go all to pieces, dear. If England must produce Belinsky, why, we'll produce Belinsky.
Belinsky is the man's name. Professor Adam Belinsky.
Oh, well... We'll be glad to make his weekend as pleasant as possible.
But this isn't a matter of a pleasant weekend. It's a matter of life and death. Well, you may have to stay here permanently.
Permanently? A total stranger? Now, look here, Adam.
But, Father, he sacrificed everything. He hasn't any money. Oh, Mother, I'm sure you'll understand. Now, I'm depending upon you to be very kind to him. Well, I've got to get back to London.
You just got here.
Betty Cream?
Of course not. Betty Cream is entirely too superficial to be concerned about in times like these. Well, I'll see you as soon as I can. Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, Father.
Oh, dear, I wish you were more interested in Betty.
Nice girl. Fits the horse well. Why doesn't he marry her and have done with it?
Dear Uncle Ron, I am writing to you on the train that is carrying me out of your life and into my new career as parlor maid. There is a nice young gentleman across from me and his dog, Robin. He simply thinks he will have a car waiting for him at the station, and he requires me to show him the car in his residence. He says any friend of hers is a friend of his. So everything is clean. What did you say, Henry?
Miss Brown. Colonel Graham just dropped her off. Well, aren't you going to stay?
But I don't know, Miss Brown.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do. You just don't remember.
Andrew, he definitely said Mr. Belinsky. But do you suppose he could have meant Miss Brown?
Mm, possibly. Oh, you'll remember once you get a look at her. One of those relatives of yours, probably.
Well, I'll have to research you anyway.
Colonel seemed quite fond of her. Wants us to bring her over there
tomorrow night. Hello, Miss Brown. It really doesn't matter.
Then, shall we say
lemon? Well, you can put me, but... I'll cry, Annie.
Oh, well, then, just by all means.
Sugar? Oh, I don't think so.
I'm quite sure.
Well, if you don't mind, four, please.
Try a crumpet.
Oh, thank you. Well, I could just look at the anything like this. And I've never seen such beautiful flowers.
Hear that, Alice? She works in it from morning till night. It's her empire.
Maybe you'll let me help you.
Of course, my dear.
I'm so glad you like flowers. You're much nicer than I thought. I didn't think you'd be nice at all.
You didn't.
I was even afraid to my starving. Instead, here I am having two with milk and four lumps and crumpets. Shall I have another?
Good heavens, child, have them all.
You won't feel sorry. I'm going to do everything to please you, even if cooking. I'll be coming.
Plummy?
I only missed one of your pipes, Luke. I could fix it.
By God.
Miss Brown, I suppose you've known Colonel Graham a long time. I know. We just got on the train, but I feel as if I've known him ever so long. I'm going to have a puppy.
You're going to have a what?
A puppy. From the colonel.
Jupiter.
You think it's the first time you've ever given one of Robin to Billy? I promise I won't let it interfere with my work.
Your work?
Yes. Sir. I'll see you down. You can sit. Mr. Setner. Do you think Setner? I'm going to be colonized.
Oh,
oh, I see. You thought I was going to be next, didn't you? I'm sorry.
Oh, Nancy, you've enjoyed meeting you.
Yes, of course.
Sir?
Yes, Lily.
Sir, let's just sit down and you may.
Lily,
no, don't get upset. But it isn't, Lily. We hope you'll be happy here and stay with us a long time.
Thank you, Lily.
Well, sir, how's it progressing? The new parlor maid.
It's a little difficult to determine so soon, sir, but I've decided to let her assist at dinner, sir.
Good, good. Now, about what's his name? The chap Andrew sent us from London.
The professor, he'll be downstairs immediately, sir.
I say, Alice, what's his name again?
Oh, dear, I keep forgetting, too. So many foreigners have foreign names, don't they?
If I may make a suggestion, sir, think of the fur, Kolinsky.
Of course. Professor Kolinsky.
And now substitute B for Cole, Belinsky for Kolinsky, and we have it, sir.
Oh, simple, isn't it? Professor, what's the name of that fur again? Professor Belinsky.
Oh, Professor, how nice to see you.
And you're very kind of you, Dunwell. How do you do, sir?
How do you do? Have a glass of sherry. Don't you like your room?
Oh, most excellent room.
Good. Comfortable bed, too. Oh, there's a nightingale under your window.
Oh, you shouldn't have gone to so much trouble.
Not at all.
Professor, you're most welcome here for as long as you care to stay.
How very hospitable you are, but I don't feel I should accept until you know more about me.
Oh, Andrew has told us all about you.
And about this nasty business, you don't have to worry with Constable Birkins around.
Well, what really worries me right now is the lack of the dinner guests.
Dinner is served,
milady. Sir Henry, I couldn't bear to face you in a lounge suit across the dinner table.
Nonsense. Wore a lounge suit myself once to dinner. In Naples. Went plumbing. Didn't want to talk to Naples.
How simple and charming you make effort. Now, and mind that you hold the mutton chatter properly.
Oh, yes, sir. Stop
leaping about. You will serve her and Luther. Anyway.
Here we are.
Mutton
from our own sheep, Melinda.
Really?
Huh? What?
Don't take that picture, Amy. This one. Look at that one.
What?
It wasn't from the start. And it's bigger and brown.
Well, I never.
You won't have to eat that.
No, thank you, Miss Barnes, if you don't mind.
It's you! It's you! Thomas, for the
Ow! A maid shooting the mutton for me. Outrageous.
You'll be dismissed immediately.
No, one moment, Sir Henry. You took the piece of mutton she suggested. Why?
Well, because the other piece had a blob of fat on it.
And this one is brown and leaner and bigger.
But hang it all, Valencia, if that isn't done.
What a pity. Does it occur to you, sir, that for generations the lords of Carmela probably eaten the wrong pieces of mutton?
Oh, that's a very interesting way of looking at it. Besides, Henry, it's so difficult to get domestics to come to the country.
Well, she needn't have dropped the whole platter and insulted my friend. What is it she said to you?
Nuts to the squirrel.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It should be squirrels to the nuts. But...
Well, nuts. Too deep for me, Belinsky.
If I may say so, my lady, the sooner the young woman is dismissed, the better.
Oh, Monsieur Stewart, I know that as a guardian of English tradition, Miss Brown has offended your sensibility. But permit me to quote someone to whom everything English was also dear. The quality of mercy is not strange. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven. Lady Dalmel, Sir Henry, allow me to raise my glass to Shakespeare.
You'll
have
another chance,
sir. Thank you, Lady Carmel. Clooney. Can I come in, Clooney?
Clooney.
Hello, Clooney. Oh, I'm so sorry I upset you at dinner tonight.
Oh, do you please, Mr. Belinsky?
Forgive me for calling on you at this hour. I would have paid my respects sooner, but I had some difficulty locating your room. Now, for heaven's sake, how did you get here?
You remember my uncle, don't you?
Oh, yes, that's right. It is speak of sending you into service.
No, Mr. Belinsky.
Oh, now, Clooney.
But I don't want to be a maid.
What about me, Clooney? I'm a city man. I love crowds and traffic and smoke in my lungs. What have I got? A big mouth nightingale right under my window.
Oh, it's good to talk to someone who's out of place, too.
Yes, Clooney, talk to me at any time. Open your heart to me.
Oh,
that's right, Clooney. Put your head on my shoulder. There. Now, there.
Oh, please forgive me.
For what?
For taking advantage of you. I think you're the coordinate. Just forgive me if you were my friend. Who do you want?
Sure I'm not. You were just happy to find a friend here, and so am I. Well, we must go on being friends. And as we are not our type, that should be easy.
You're not thinking you're going to be the coordinate.
Yes, that's right, Clooney, but you know how it is in a desert island. You wait and wait, and then you don't wait anymore. Clooney Brown, let's admit it, we're in danger. Oh, today we are not our type. But as time passes, well, we might not look so bad to each other. And if we remain here long enough, who knows?
Oh, no. No, that must never happen, Mr. Belinsky. You've never become the victim of my circumstances. And if you could ever see romantic to me, don't hesitate. Just kick me.
Good. Let us kick each other.
Kick that pot. Yes, kick on.
Excellent.
Ah, I feel so much better. How lucky I was to meet you at Mr. Ann's kitchen sink. Oh, I wish I were back there right now. I wish I could roll up my sleeves and unloosen the drawing.
Well, I think I'll go to my room now and let the nightingale bang me to sleep. Good night, Bernie.
Good night, Mr. Venetia.
In a moment, we'll return with Act Two of Sweeney Brown, starring Charles Boyer and Olivia de Havilland.
At military and experimental airfields all over the world, espionage agents observe. They watch and record the flights in and out of the field, and they observe, as much as they can, the performances of new planes and weapons, and they listen to the voices of the people who work inside and talk outside about classified information. The outcome of wars in the course of world history has changed because people who should have known better talk.
Of Sweeney Brown, starring Charles Boyer as Belinsky and Olivia de Havilland as Sweeney. For 3 weeks, Sweeney Brown has pursued her career as a parlourmaid on the country estate of Sir Henry Carnell. There, Adam Belinsky is installed as a somewhat permanent guest. Now, on a pleasant afternoon, Adam and Sweeney negotiate a chance meeting in the village.
Sweeney!
Why, Mr. Belinsky! Really?
Oh, just a walk, Sweeney, but look at you. Violets on your shoulders, roses on your cheeks, and a whole garden of a hat on your head. What's the occasion?
Why not three hours? From three to seven.
Oh, that's perfect, Sweeney. 4 hours, all to ourselves.
Ah, I was also thinking of Mr. Belinsky, but, well, something has happened.
What?
Well, what would you think if a gentleman invited you to tea, and to meet his mother, too?
Oh, I wouldn't go.
But I've already accepted. It's the tea, Mr. Belinsky. So excited to meet a man surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of bottles, and every one of them lies out there. Mr. Wilson is going to get so disappointed, he'll let me walk to make up a description.
Well, Sweeney, it looks as if your sheep are coming. Have a good time, my dear.
Good night, Mr. Wilson. I hope you enjoy your walk.
This is the program.
Good night, Mr. Brown. Oh, Mr. Wilson. What an elegant room.
Yes. It's not Buckingham Palace, but it's Wilson's little car for.
You know, Mr. Wilson, the way I look?
Eh?
Up there, my hat.
Well, I don't object to it myself, Miss Brown, but Mother might think it a little frivolous.
Oh, well, I'll take it off then. Well,
thank you.
Mr. Wilson, what if someone could come in and start for a prescription?
I'll hear the tinkle bell on the shop door. Now then, Miss Brown, you might enjoy this. A nap. Of our entire valley.
Just look at it.
Yes. Now, here on the map is where we are this very moment. And this is where I intend to remain the rest of my life. In this very house.
Ah. But what if the house falls down?
It won't. You may have observed the lightning rod on the roof. Milton's imperial pinpoint. The very best. However, if a blaze should occur, it may reassure you to know that I am chief of the Friar Carmel Volunteer Fire Department.
Oh, Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
But it will be on the fire to see you in action.
Thank you, Miss Brown. Now I shall call my mother. Mother? Mother? Mother's been resting. Ah, here she comes. Mother, Miss Brown.
How do you do, Mrs. Wilson?
Your chair, Mother. And now, Miss Brown, I shall play something on the harmonium.
Oh, Mr. Wilson, is there anything you'd like to?
You shall have your choice. Sweet Alice Benbow, or Play Gently, Sweet Aspen.
Oh, they're both so beautiful.
Then, shall we say Sweet Alice, and maybe Play Gently for an encore?
Thank you.
afraid I'll have to leave you at the crossroads, Miss Brown. Not as I'd like to go further. Mother's taken a great liking to you.
Yes, sir. Oh, I hope so. Did you say anything? That is, apart from killing a throat.
Mother, those words on Saturday.
Oh, look. Hello, Mr. Minister.
Hello,
Jenny
Brown.
Who's talking about? This is Miss Wilson. Mr. Minister.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
Mr. Minister is staying at Fire Cornwall. He's a guest at Sir William Woody Cornwall.
Oh, I understand your surprise, Mr. Wilson. A guest is not ordinarily aware of the existence of a maid.
Exactly, sir.
Well, you see, at Fayette Jamel, we are very proud of our Looney and interested in her welfare. And above all, in her friends.
Oh, it is, sir.
Oh, it's quarter to seven. Oh, I really have to move along. Thank you for a wonderful afternoon, Mr. Wilson.
Good evening, Miss Brown. A very worthy young lady.
Yes. I'd like a word with you, Wilson.
I am at your disposal, sir.
Mr. Wilson, I presume that you have weighed your intentions to Miss Brown as carefully as you weigh the contents of a pill.
I assure you, sir, I am not the sort who would invite a young lady to tea merely to while away an afternoon.
Well, I must admit I was worried about Jim, but you have relieved my fears. Mr. Wilson, you couldn't have prescribed the better sedatives on yourself.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Not at all. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Oh, Mr. Wilson.
Yes, sir. Just something more. You don't drink, do you?
Oh, no, sir.
Good. Good night, Mr. Wilson.
Sit down.
Thank you. How do you like, Mr. Wilson? The pleasant aspect of the ride?
Yes, sir.
Our day is an ocean, and on the ocean is a boat. Riding the storm and battling the billows. That's not Mr. Wilson. But in a quiet harbor, there is a freighter. Its engine is turned off. No smoke comes out of its funnel. Nothing could ever budge it. Neither wind nor waves. That's Mr. Wilson.
Oh, I'm so glad you like him.
Hmm?
This afternoon, for the first time, I really felt what it must be like to really have a taste. And then his mother started to snore. I got all pissed up.
You like that?
You see, I'm an orphan, and I've never heard my mother snore.
Well, you're happy now? That's all that matters.
Well, Mr. Valencia, I'm sure your ship will come in too someday.
Don't worry about my ship. I'm a good swimmer.
Oh, you have your bottle.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Valencia. Good night.
Professor Valencia.
Pleasure.
Well, I decided quite suddenly to drive down. Tell me, Andrew, how are you?
Oh, better now that I'm out of London. And how is Vicky King?
Oh, I never want to hear that woman's name again. She's impossible. Oh. Self-centered and idiotic.
Now tell me, what's been going on? I've neglected you shamefully. Have you noticed anything of except a Nazi?
There is a cow on your father's pasture that's given me a nasty look once or twice, but...
Oh, won't you ever be serious? Professor, from now on, I'm devoting my undivided attention to you.
Oh, if you would only listen, Andrew. I've tried to tell you so many times. I'm merely another refugee. I'm not in any danger.
You're not in danger.
Well, naturally, I am.
Well, that's more like it. But so are you, the whole world, everyone.
Yes, but everyone's not Adam Valencia. Well, I've had a bad time of it until I had seen them. And mind you, I may have a bad time of it again if they ever publish my book.
Well, what's holding it up?
Publishers.
What a cad. I'm going to write another letter to the Times.
Yes.
No, I'll join the RAF.
That's better. John Yarriad, right above the time.
Well, not much point sitting here, is there? Let's drive on home. Hello?
Hello?
What? What's the news?
Yes?
What's he doing here?
Riding a horse? He's here for the weekend.
Why didn't you tell me?
What do you care? You told me she was impossible.
Debbie, why did you come here? Well, have you forgotten that row we had last
night? You didn't row. I don't
remember. They had a row all London's talking about. You haven't even the decency to acknowledge it.
Sorry, darling. I do better next time.
That's looking at heavy, though, boy.
One day, some man's going to marry that girl. Decent stuff, probably. Well, there's only one thing I can say for her.
You think the horse
will? Well,
anything? Andrew, we're surprised to see you.
You made that quite clear.
Nice fellow, Andrew.
You've come to my room to tell me about Andrew.
No, to talk to you about Toon Brown.
Toon Brown?
I suppose you have not even noticed her. Who do you think unpacked your 3 foot cases, 2 hat boxes, and 1 overnight suit? Hmm? Harry? No? Is it?
Millie Brown.
And Millie Brown would like to have evening off to attend a birthday celebration. Now, Mrs. Mailey, the housekeeper, and Mr. Stewart, the butler, are willing to excuse her.
Well, everything's settled, isn't it?
Not quite. You see, Miss Brown has been assigned as your personal maid. Now, the question arises, Miss Mailey, can you get in and out of your clothes without breaking your neck?
That I don't know.
Try it, will you, my little lamb, my sweet? And if you could break your perfect neck, just very soon.
And if you promise not to come, Miss Brown may have a whole evening off.
Thank you, Miss Mailey.
A pleasure, Mr. Valencia. Come on, Miss
I said evening is yours, Junie. Enjoy it.
Ah, Mr. Valencia. You see, it's not only Mrs. Wilson's birthday, but since she started hockey.
Why, Junie?
You still have. Mr. Wilson has spoken to his mother about me.
Oh, I'm sure she approves of you.
Well, anyway, she didn't say now. She just said, that's what he told her.
That's very encouraging.
And the Mr. Wilson asked her to meet him with the little girl and everybody. And they all...
He asked you?
That's just it. She might ask him tonight. That's the thing.
I see. So romantic, Junie.
Mr. Valencia, I can't tell you.
Tell me what?
But I had a dream last night. About you.
Junie, you did?
Oh, you don't know how wonderful you looked in that bird. And how you rode that black arriving in Australian. Really? You just burned up the sand, and you swept me up off the desert and set me right in front of you on the saddle. My, did we get a horse well?
Can you back the key to my tent, Junie? That's the usual procedure, isn't it?
You were taking me somewhere, but just in time, I remembered our pact.
Our pact? Oh, yes.
So I took myself.
Oh, and took the stick right out of the dream.
Mr. Belinsky, did you write down to your tent?
What? No. No, you did the right thing. I have no tent. Not on the desert, nor anywhere. Well, turn along, Junie. Good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Belinsky.
Miss Payne.
Oh, Professor
Miss Payne, what does one do with a woman like you?
One gets out of my room, Professor. Especially at this hour of the night. I was about to go to sleep.
A good beating. That's what I ought to give you. A good beating.
Think it over, will you? But nothing more. Or would you like me to scream?
Why are you so vicious to my friend Andrew? Tonight after dinner, you did nothing but...
Oh, this time it's about Andrew. Well, sorry, this is a personal call.
Oh, Miss Payne, you hold no attraction from me whatever. None.
Yes. Then why is your hair so carefully combed? And why do you smell like a perfume salesman?
Hmm?
Well?
Yes, it is me, isn't it? Well, that's very interesting. You know, I could have sworn I came in here for no other reason than to speak for a friend. Now, is it possible that when I reached for the brilliantine, way down deep in my subconscious, I was reaching for something else? Ready? I am beginning to doubt my motive.
I will speak that out, and I don't mean subconsciously.
Why are you so nasty, Andrew?
I'll scream.
Wake up the whole house. Don't you ever think of any...
What happened, anyway? It's all right, sir. Apparently, there's nothing more than a dream. You may go.
Good night, Milady.
Good night, Mrs. Milady. Good night,
Milady. Where's Betty?
She's in her room, Andrew. She's perfectly all right.
What happened, Professor? It was all my fault, Andrew. I was looking for the bathroom, and I missed the door.
I'm so sorry.
Well,
I had my door open. I thought it was a burglar, so I... Dear me, what an evening. Well, good night, Professor.
Good night, Edith Mel. My profoundest regret. Good night, Andrew.
Andrew, I want you to promise me to go straight to bed, please.
I insist upon speaking with Professor Valencia.
Won't the morning do just as well, Andrew?
Very well, then, the morning. You see, I don't believe a word of what you've just said.
Good girl. May I come in, my dear?
Of course, Lady Connie.
You know, Bessie, you ought to get married.
Yes, Lady Connie.
Are you going to marry Andrew?
Yes, Lady Connie.
Then I think you should tell him so, because you're sitting quite...
Yes, Lady Connie.
Oh, thank you.
Good night, my dear.
Oh, did you not be rude?
No, thank you. Besides, I don't think he's home. Something about his birthday party, I believe.
Goodness, it must have been quite a party.
Yes, I hope you're satisfied, Miss Brown.
But Mr. Wilson...
All our guests have gone. And just as Mother was about to blow out her birthday candle...
I still don't understand what I did that was so wrong.
For one thing, Miss Brown, the word P-L-U-N-D-I-N-G is not mentioned in mixed company, let alone at Mother's birthday.
But it's right. It's a study in the bathroom.
Miss Brown.
And I thought I was being so repressed to it. And I did fix it. I fixed it down.
We can't discuss it any further tonight, Miss Brown. If
at all.
Yes, Mr. Wilson. Good night. Good night, Mrs. Wilson.
In a moment, we'll return to the third act of Truly Brown, starring Olivia de Havilland and Charles Boyer.
The first description or definition of leisure in the Webster Dictionary is freedom afforded by exemption from occupation or business. Well, there isn't a man serving the armed forces today who doesn't have a certain amount of leisure time. What is done with that time is up to the individual. But here is a suggestion that may come in handy. Why not take a course, or a group of courses, through the United States Armed Forces Institute? There are over 6,000 to choose from, elementary, high school, college, or technical. The choice is yours. How about discussing it with your education officer?
Back to your producer, William Keeley.
Act 3 of Truly Brown, starring Charles Boyer as Belinsky and Olivia de Havilland in the title role. It's been a bad night for both Truly Brown and Adam Belinsky. Keeley's propensity for plumbing has shattered her budding romance with Mr. Wilson, the plumber. While Adam's brave attempt to smooth the path of love for Andrew Carmel and Betty Keeley likewise a fizzle sadly. With a solemn face, Adam, he faces Andrew's father at the breakfast table. Mister,
I want a word with you. Sit down, have some breakfast.
No, thank you. I don't feel like breakfast today.
Have you seen Andrew?
No, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to.
You're in for a surprise. He'll bowl you over.
Really?
Belinsky, he's not a boy anymore. Two-fisted man, overnight, scared the wind off of that.
Oh.
Know who did it? That fellow you're running away from.
What fellow?
What's his name? You know, Hitler.
Good heavens. What else happened last night? Was war declared?
Oh, no. But Admiral thinks it will be. That's why he barged into my room this morning and said, I'm joining the RAF. Never spoke to me like that in his life.
Oh, the RAF. Well, I think I'll have some breakfast after all.
I say, Belinsky, this talk about war, all poppycock, isn't it?
No, Sir Henry. I know Hitler.
Written a book, hasn't he? Well, what more does he want?
If you really want to know, Sir Henry, read the book.
It's sort of an outdoor book, isn't it? What's it called? Oh, yes, My Camp.
Yes. Sort of an outdoor book. The old German idea of sport. Sir Henry, there will be a war. It's inevitable.
Well, then I'm glad Andrew's joining up. We'll see this thing through, Belinsky. We'll tell that blighter.
You're getting angry, Sir Henry.
Good.
Stay angry, and everything will be all right.
Oh, good morning, Professor.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Carmel. Good morning, Miss Payne.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Have you heard the good news about Andrew and Betty? You may congratulate us, if you like. They're going to be married.
Imagine it, Belinsky. All this went on last night. We slept through it like a couple of days.
Yes. Well, I wish you all happiness. You're both very lucky. And now I have an announcement. I'm leaving.
Well, look here. Who's leaving?
Well, really, I must get back to London.
You'll come right back, won't you?
I wish I could, Sir Henry.
Well, hang it all. Took me quite some time to learn to say, Belinsky, and now that I can, beastly selfish of you, old man.
Professor?
Yes, Andrew?
I still insist upon a word with you.
Yes. Talk to him, Andrew. He can't leave us. Tell him what's wrong.
I intend to. If you don't mind, Professor, well, I do. Well, Andrew, about last night. I'm not a child. You were not looking for the bathroom door.
You don't believe it, eh?
I didn't believe it last night, and I don't believe it now.
I don't believe it either. But if I should tell you, I went into Miss Chin's room last night to look about you. Would you believe that?
Would you?
No,
but I did. Professor, I have great respect for you as a writer, as a man of principle.
Thank you.
But I'm going to knock you down. Sorry.
Well, let's get it over with.
Wait a minute. How much do I owe you?
It doesn't matter.
But it does matter. If anything should happen to you, I want to be sure of how much I owe you. Now, listen.
You lent me £20 in London, £4 yesterday.
Oh, forget it. What kind of a man do you think I am? Are we going to have this out or aren't we?
Indeed we are. But I want you to know that I'm fighting and I'm handicapped. You think a man who lent me £24 may throw me a badly.
Are you ready?
Yes. Now, I know. I think you ought to know that I was once lightweight champion of all Czechoslovakia.
And I think you should know I was middleweight champion of all Oxford and Cambridge.
Middleweight? Pretty warm, isn't it?
Rather. Oh, it's no use. Can I trust you to wait here?
Where are you going?
Never mind where I'm going. But if you know what's good for you, see here when I come back. Betty.
Andrew, what are you doing? You just got me out of the gym.
I'm sorry, Betty, but it doesn't concern you. You've got to trust me, not me.
But if I trust you now, I'll always have to trust you. And I'm sure I won't. It's a gun, isn't it? That's what you're hiding behind your back, a gun.
Does this look like a gun?
Oh, darling. Darling, it's only money.
Well, I suppose you'll think it's absurd of me to lend the professor £50.
Absurd? Give him $100, $200. Oh, and I thought you were going to shoot him.
Well, maybe I ought to. After all, walking into your room like
Thank
that...
Thank heaven he did. If I had a screen last night, we wouldn't be engaged today.
Oh, you're so right, Jessie. I've said it before and I'll say it again.
What England needs is more Belinsky.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm leaving.
Oh, indeed, sir.
You know, I will miss you, sir. And so will my wants, but you brought glamour into its crowded life.
Thank you, sir.
You trained and increased its self-respect. You gave it hope. Thank you, sir. I'd like to give you this.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And if you don't mind, you've got an envelope this far, Mrs. May.
Yes, sir.
Where's Susan Brown? I have a little something for her.
I'm afraid Brown is indisposed, sir. She hasn't left her room this morning.
Oh, nothing serious.
Oh, no, Mrs. May tells me the birthday party last night was a bit too much for her.
Oh.
But I can call her. I'm sure it's all right.
No, it's better like this. Would you be kind enough to give her this little package? And tell her, please, that I'm so happy her ship is coming. And that I wish her bon voyage with all my heart.
Bon voyage, yes, sir.
And should she ever feel unhappy, tell her just to close her eyes and say, squirrels to the nuts. You remember that, won't you?
If she's ever unhappy, nuts to the squirrels.
No. Squirrels to the nuts.
Squirrels to the nuts. Very good.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Professor.
Ah, Mr. Belinsky. How did you think this was done?
Why should you be afraid of that?
Because I wanted to thank you. Not so just as Mr. Belinsky. Oh, they're beautiful.
I'm glad you like them.
How did you think about me? You know what made it seem like a thing?
Yes, I know, Jenny.
It's kind of awful to think of.
Yes, it is awful. How is Mr. Wilson?
Well, I like being better, Mr. Belinsky.
Was he sick?
No, he was upset about his mother.
Ah, what's the matter with her?
Well, he was upset about me. Mr. Belinsky, I distressed myself last night.
Clooney.
You know what Clooney does to me. I just can't get my hands off it. So I don't blame Mr. Wilson. No, just don't blame it, Thomas.
Oh, you mean then it's all over?
Yes.
You and Mr. Wilson?
Well, you think so, we didn't. But it isn't. He can't tell me the same.
Oh.
He's got to ask his mother to give me another chance. Isn't that Jim's having? Yes, I'm not sure, Mrs. Mr. Wilson. But he's about to get away from quite strong enough.
Well, the train is leaving, Clooney.
Yes. So. Goodbye, Mr. Belinsky.
Get on the train.
What?
Get on the train.
But, Mr. Belinsky. Mr. Belinsky.
Yes, Tony?
Where are we going?
General delivery, London.
General delivery? Are you expecting a letter?
Always. That's what's so wonderful about general delivery. Letters pour into it. Millions of them from all parts of the world.
You know, I've never thought of that. You do make one thing, Mr. Belinsky.
Among all those letters, there might be one for us. Mind you, it might be very disappointing, but it also might be very encouraging. It might come from America.
Mr. Belinsky, this sound is very nice.
Clooney, if I were rich, I would build for you the most beautiful mansion with the most exquisite and complicated plumbing. And right in the middle of the most elegant housewarming party, I would hand you a hammer and a monkey wrench, and I would say, ladies and gentlemen, Madame Clooney Belinsky is about to put the pipes in their place.
Madame Belinsky.
Clooney, never again are you going to have to serve 3 meals a day. On the other hand, you may not have 3 meals a day. Sometimes, maybe only one.
And sometimes, maybe only none. I don't care. As long as we eat it together, Mr. Belinsky.
Just for that, we're going to have 3 meals a day. With hors d'oeuvre and champagne and snacks in between. Do you know what you've done to me, Clooney?
What?
I was going to write a book. Morality versus Expediency. Well, with luck, I might have made barely enough money for myself. But now, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write a bestseller. A murder mystery.
A murder mystery? What's it going to be about?
A murder. A man gets murdered.
Which man?
A rich man.
Oh, yes. There's no use murdering a poor man.
Oh, all right, you are. You see how well we work together?
Who told me? Who did it?
For 360 pages, I will not know myself. But when on page 361 finally comes out, how will I be surprised? And so will millions of others. Clooney, this book will make enough money for both of us.
But Mr. Belinsky, what if there should be three others?
Well, then I'll write a sequel. But why limit ourselves? I'll write a serial.
Oh, Mr. Belinsky, how do you think I'm going to have much time for plumbing?
What is the matter? Just saying, Professor Belinsky's
new book. That's love. By Jove, they've been sold
out for weeks. What's the name of it again?
The Nightingale Murder. By Adam Belinsky.
Where have you been, darling?
I just took a doctor's here.
Ah. Did you take his plumbing?
Did you know what he said? No more steam and everyone has to use, he said.
Uh-huh.
You mean...
Uh-huh.
Why, Colonel Belinsky, excuse me, my darling.
What are you doing?
The Nightingale strikes again by Adam Belinsky.
We take our leave of Sooner Brown and welcome our stars of the footlights for a curtain call. Olivia de Havilland and Charles Boyer. He's given us a most delightful hour.
Thank you, Bill. I really enjoyed being Sooner Brown.
Does that mean you have a yen for plumbing, Olivia?
No, sir. The only bathroom fixture that I understand is soap. Good night.
Good night, and thanks again for Sooner Brown. This is William Tudor, saying good night to you from Hollywood.